Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Fans of the late Anthony Bourdain rushed to see a new documentary about his life when it was released earlier this month. Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain, was for many an opportunity to connect one more time with the globe-trotting chef and author who took his own life in 2018.
I said earlier that I was going to tell you the truth. This is part of it.
But one small part of that movie has sparked a big debate. The director used an artificially generated version of Bourdain's voice to recreate one of his emails. For more details, we're joined by Karen Howe. She's an editor at the MIT Technology Review. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Celeste.
How did they use this AI voice in the film?
Bourdain had this email that the director really wanted to be read aloud in the film, and there was no audio of that email, so they took all of the existing audio they had of Anthony Bourdain's voice, fed it into an AI algorithm, and that algorithm was able to then create a synthetic version of Bourdain's voice that sounded basically like him and read the email as though it were him.
And part of the controversy is generated, as I understand, by the fact that they did it so well, that it sounded like Anthony Bourdain.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you didn't know that it was generated, you wouldn't hear the audio and automatically assume that it was done by an AI and not by Bourdain himself. So there's sort of two issues that made it controversial. One was this disclosure aspect. The director didn't actually disclose the audio either by making it audibly obvious that it was replicated and didn't disclose it in another way by just explicitly telling the audience. But the other issue that people kind of grated against was this idea of consent. Obviously, this was done after Bourdain has passed away, and he never had an opportunity to agree to having his voice and his email represented in this way. And so I think the audience and many fans of him were just really uncomfortable.
This is not the first time that AI-generated either images or voices have made people feel uncomfortable. Where do we stand in terms of figuring out what's right and what's wrong about the ethical line between recreating either the image or voice of a celebrity?
This is such new technology, and it's just become professionalized to the degree where we can use it in productions like documentaries now. So there really are no standards and norms around this. We certainly have had examples of success stories. There was an example of a documentary from 2020 called Welcome to Chechnya, where the director decided to use deepfake faces to conceal the identities of people that he needed to protect in the film. And in that particular instance, he made some ethical calls that went well, and the audience agreed with those decisions and resonated with the way that he approached it. Obviously, in this particular instance with Roadrunner, the audience did not. And so right now, we're really in this phase of trial and error where a lot of creators and directors are kind of just experimenting and then effectively figuring out through call and response what people think is appropriate.
I mean, there was also an example of a film in which they used AI to create Richard Nixon's voice to read a speech that he would have given if the mission to the moon had been unsuccessful.
Yes. So this is a really interesting creative endeavor where these two MIT researchers wanted to see what it would be like to do revisionist history with deepfakes. So they created both a visual deepfake of Nixon and an audio deepfake of his voice reading this speech that he would have delivered that was actually written but was never delivered. And in that particular instance, they packaged the project in a way that very clearly labeled that this is a deepfake, that it was an artistic experiment, and it was meant to just see what kind of emotions this kind of technology could evoke. And the effect is amazing. The first time I watched it, I definitely got shivers.
What are your concerns, though? I mean, I have to be honest, knowing that people could create not just my voice convincingly, but my image saying things I never said convincingly is unnerving. What worries you about this?
It is very unnerving. I mean, we have already seen outside of the professionalized entertainment or journalism industry, these types of technologies really wreaking havoc in ways that the inventors never really thought about. A lot of the conversation is obviously around political deepfakes and the fear that we might be able to recreate a politician saying something that they never said or doing something they never did. But there's also been vast consequences for women when it comes to things like revenge porn. It is really concerning in that if we don't have a good handle of this technology as a society, meaning both people who are using it think about it ethically and regulators who are trying to control it think about it comprehensively, it could really damage our understanding of media and our trust in media.
And reality, what happened or didn't. Karen Howe is an editor at the MIT Technology Review. Karen, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Celeste.